Welcome to Stories Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about. So, for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get at is this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing The Straw Man. The Straw Man is a short story I published in 2016 with the since-defunct Icarus Down Review. This is a story about a young woman in high school who sneaks off to a frat party with her friend and ends up with a lot more than she bargained for. The main crux of the story is that there is a keg, there's a lot of drinking, but perhaps more importantly, there's also a boy there, a college student, who's dressed up as the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz, who's trying to flirt with her, but largely freaks out our protagonist because he looks a lot like a horror movie creature she remembers and associates with her dad, who it's implied left the family, and these memories of this horror movie and these scary stories he used to tell really stick with her and are kind of the defining memory that go with that part of her life. So on the whole, I think this is a story about growing up and that dance that a lot of us do between wanting more and wanting to speed up the process and become adults already, while also getting caught up in our various childhood experiences and traumas that shape who we are and what we become. I like doing all this and wrapping it up in what could easily be read as more of a horror story, and I think that's part of the crux of what makes a story succeed to the extent that it does, is that it is a story that you could read at a much more superficial level as just kind of being a scary story. But if you look for those layers within it, I like to think that they are there and they're something that the readers can uncover, especially on repeated readings. So the straw man concept, this whole concept of having this character, the way it's framed in the story is that our protagonist comes in when she's a little girl and sees her father watching this scary movie on TV and just catches sight of this scarecrow that comes to life and is going to, you know, terrorize some innocent people. And then her mom kind of catches her and sends her back to her room. And this idea that, you know, part of what's so scary is that she never actually gets to see the resolution of that. She only gets this one very scary snippet of it. And I think a lot of us have these memories. I know I do from childhood of, you know, very specific kind of finite things that may in and of themselves not have been that scary. But for whatever reason, that very specific image sticks with us. For me, one of the key ones was I remember watching an episode of the TV show Millennium, a Chris Carter show that came out after The X-Files, and I remember this character descending this staircase. I actually wrote another story, a flash piece, that pulls more directly from that memory, but that character just, for whatever reason, really resonated with me, and I just remember in my mind that was the scariest thing I'd ever seen in my life at that point, at least on screen. You know, and not necessarily for any clear logical reason. I think I'd probably seen more objectively scary or more interesting things. But, you know, the combination of the visuals used there with that particular time in my life and, you know, maybe watching it late at night in a dark room, you know, it all kind of comes together to create something that, you know, I'm sure if I watched it now, I might be, okay, yeah, it's a scary scene, but that'd be the extent of it. But, you know, stood out to me and obviously stuck with me for, you know, over 20 years at this point. It's just being, you know, the most terrifying thing. And so sort of this concept of the straw man is that sort of character in this character's mind. It's someone who, you know, she doesn't really fully understand. She's never been able to find the movie since to really, you know, figure out exactly what she was watching. Just knows this image of being, you know, kind of this terrifying figure. And so when she sees this boy, you know, it reminds her of that experience, it reminds her of her father, and kind of the net result of all that is just that he becomes the most kind of terrifying thing that she's encountered. So that was a big aspect of the story, just kind of in dealing with fear and kind of how I think that works and kind of unpacking some of that. There's also an element of the story where, you know, there's this truck following the car as the girls make their getaway from this party. You know, it obviously turns out to be harmless. It's, you know, the girl's mother and her boyfriend. But, part of the way that they know it's the same truck following them is it only has one headlight on. This was inspired by an actual experience I had just driving home these long road trips I did. When I was driving, late at night, and there was this truck behind me, and the whole, idea of being followed by another vehicle, and specifically with one with, something distinctive like one headlight, in and of itself, I think is just sort of eerie, sort of creepy. But I think what really kind of pushes it to the next level of being useful to the story is that it's also, practically speaking, a way of telling that it is this same vehicle behind you. If you just see yourself getting tailgated, that could be, that someone's following me, to that extent. But it could be a different car at different times in a drive. I just remember that car being behind me for, I think, the better part of an hour on that drive. And after I turned off, and kind of came back on the highway, they were still behind me. And, that being a way of just knowing that it's the same vehicle, or at least a big coincidence if it's more than one vehicle with one headlight out that's following you. So that was pulled from my real life, but I thought it was a neat kind of very practical kind of detail that I don't think I would have thought of had I not experienced something like it. And then the other major influence on this story, I think, was reading a story by Ray Bryant, her short story, Monk Man and Moonshine, from her collection, The Indefinite State of Imaginary Morals. I really admired that story, I think, just for some of the vocal qualities of it. It's kind of got a folksy voice to it, but at the same time is dark and kind of sexy. And I don't know, it deals with kind of family mythology alongside this idea of coming of age. And that's something I really kind of wanted to emulate with this story, and wrote this story, the first draft of it, not too long after having read that one. This is a story. It was part of my thesis project when I was at Hopkins doing my first master's degree, and I was really happy with how it turned out. It did take a while to find a home for it, but I was glad to find a home at the Icarus Down Review, which I thought was a really cool journal for the time that it lasted. It was also a pretty short-lived publication, but I think it was a good one that I was happy to be a part of. Okay, so that's a wrap on The Straw Man. We're going to move along to Mike's monthly endorsement. So, as an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things, to see what interests and inspires you, and to see what's already out there, and see what's come before you. So, at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, story, movie, TV show, a band, a wrestling match, an article, and anything along these lines that may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that might be a little bit dated now and on the cusp of being forgotten, but that I recommend. So in this case, I'm actually going to recommend a website called the MFA Years. I believe the URL is as simple as themfayears.com, or if it's not that, you can Google it and surely find it simply enough. But it's a collaborative blog that started more or less in sync with me starting my MFA program at Oregon State. And basically, it just deals with people who are current students in MFA programs, or recent alum, or even people who are applying to join programs. It deals with a lot of kind of issues around learning and teaching writing. Some of it's about mechanical pieces like the application process. My friend Dylan Brown wrote a great post for them on transferring between MFA programs. It deals with questions about, the writer's community and kind of what it means to be part of an MFA, and if that model still makes sense. So it's a site. I mean, I think, like any site with a lot of different writers working for it, it can be a little hit or miss for my taste, depending on, just if I'm interested in the topic at hand, or kind of, individual writers and kind of, liking their work. But if you're someone who's, thinking about going to an MFA program, or an alum of a program, or a current student, I think it really kind of speaks to the language that a lot of us do at those various phases. And also for folks, I know I would count myself among these folks for a number of years, someone who didn't necessarily have imminent plans or, a set, date we're planning to go to an MFA program, but was kind of looking longingly at that experience and kind of wanting to be a part of it. I think this is a way of kind of tapping into that world a little bit, and some of the conversations that are happening in and around the MFA world that I think is really useful. So yeah, it's called the MFA Years, and it centers on MFA programs and creative writing and kind of surrounding matters. All right, well, as always, I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you will check back again. Special thanks, as always, go to Mike Peake for providing the theme music for the show. That's all for this time. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.